Welcome to our Halacha Iyun Shir series. Around once a month, we're going to be having a different topic in Halacha, a chance to go in a little bit more in depth than we normally get to do. We do a lot of Mishnah Berurah Halacha L'Maaseh Shirim, but this is a chance to really go from the top down in a larger sugya, to see a little bit of the lumdus behind it, and then also come to a practical conclusion with regards to a particular issue. The topic today is going to be the topic of Ein Mevatlin Isser Lechavchila. Ein Mevatlin Isser Lechavchila means that it's not allowed to intentionally nullify something which is usser from the beginning. I mean, it's usser to intentionally nullify something, to create a situation of bitzel that doesn't happen on its own. In order to understand that, let's first take a step back and just do a short introduction to bitzel, and then also to Ein Mevatlin Isser Lechavchila. The concept of bittul comes from a pasuk in Shemot, Acharei Rabim Lahatos is the end of the pasuk, that we follow the Rabim, and Chazal learned from that verse the din of bittul berov. The idea of a taruvus basically has to have three major components to it. A taruvus means a mixture. There has to be rov heter, miut iser, v'ha'iser eonikar. There has to be a majority of heter, a minority of iser, and that iser item, that iser thing, can't be recognizable or discernible. There has to be a majority of heter because that's what gives us the situation of rov. A miut iser is basically just saying the opposite side of the equation. There has to be less of iser than there is of heter. There has to be less of what's usher than there is of what's mutter. V'ha'iser eino nikar. That iser object, that iser item, can't be recognizable. Meaning, if I could see clearly and explicitly what the iser item is, then I could just remove it. There's no bittel. There's no need for me to make that iser item mutter. There's no confusion, because I know exactly what it is and I can remove it. So you need those three requirements for bittel to take place at the onset. Rov heter, miut iser, v'ha'iser eino nikar. In a case of Yavish B'Yavish, let's give a theoretical example. This is certainly not a practical example. There's a lot more laws that are going to go into a lot of these issues, but we're giving an introduction to Bittel. The example that my Rebbe likes to give is, let's say you had, theoretically, three hamburgers in front of you that all looked identical. Two of them were mutter. Two of them were kosher. And one of them is not kosher. In such a case, you have Rov Heter, two kosher ones. Miut Isser, one non-kosher one. And again, in this theoretical case, you can't even tell which one is the non-kosher one. And so you have a case of bittul yavish b'yavish. Yavish means something which is dry or something which is separate. Two things that are totally, all of the three pieces are totally distinct. And you have a situation of yavish b'yavish. In such a case, that item, that non-kosher hamburger, again, theoretically becomes mutter. And simple understanding, without getting into any of the lamdos, you could eat all three. Once bittul ischal, once you have rov heter, miut iser, v'iser nemikar, once you have all of the three requirements, according to the Torah, that pasuk of acharei rabim lahatos, according to the Torah, that iser becomes heter. It's batel. And halakhically becomes mutter. That's a case of yavish b'yavish. In that case also, again, you were actually eating something which is practically mamish treif, but then halachically becomes mutter. And that would be theoretically totally allowed. There are more dinim that go into that, but that's the concept of yavish b'yavish. And there again, you need a 2-to-1 ratio. Then there's a totally different type of case, which is lach b'lach. Two things which are not separate, distinct, individual entities. Lach means something which is wet or watery or liquid. Two things which are actually mixed together. In a yavish b'yavish case, the only confusion is in your mind. There are three distinct entities, and there's a confusion in your mind as to which one is mutter and which one is usser. In the case of lach b'lach, there's an actual mixture happening. You actually can't find, you don't even know what the individual entities are. One case of this would be, for example, if you had orange juice that was orla. Orla is usser. Juice from an orange, from a tree that's in its first few years, that fell into milk. So you had a little drop of orla orange juice that fell into your kosher milk. Then you have a mixture there. They're totally they're mixed. They're intertwined one to another. Since it's usher to drink the orla orange juice, you need what we call batel b'shishim, what we're familiar with. You need a 60-to-1 ratio of milk to the orla orange juice. If it's 60 parts or more of the kosher milk, then the mixture is going to be mutter. Then you're allowed to drink the milk. The assumption there being that you wouldn't taste the orange juice. You need enough strength of the kosher item that it would nullify the taste of the non-kosher or item that you're not allowed to eat or drink. Since we hold that tam k'ikr, those of you who are familiar with the phrase who came to the kashrus shiur a few weeks ago, since we assume tam k'ikr, that the taste of something is like the item itself, since we assume that's a din d'oraisa, so then the requirement of shishim, of needing 60 to be mevatel, the taste of the usur item, would be a Torah requirement, would be mid'oraisa. So you've got our two basic paradigms of yavish b'yavish, which requires a 1-to-2 ratio, and lach b'lach, which requires a 1-to-60 ratio. Those are our two basic paradigms for the purposes of our shiur. Questions? Good. Yes.
Is there any significance with the number 60, or is that?
There's, on a halachic level, it's the point at which something is no longer discernible. On a hashkafic level, one can go into what does 60 mean and why 60, but on a halachic level, it's the point at which something is not discernible. Yeah?
The items that cannot be discerned.
Yeah, we're giving a basic introduction to, this is not to paskin off of. You end up with three identical hamburgers in front of you, and two are kosher and one is treif. If for some in some way that happens to you, call your local Orthodox rabbi. It's not so simple that you can necessarily eat them, or that you can eat them all together, or that you can cook them together. There's a lot of details. We're just giving an introduction.
There are items that just, like, you can't.
There are also items that can't be. There's not concepts of beria. There's a lot of, again, kashrus is a massive topic. We're just getting to what we're coming to now, which is the concept of ein mevatel nefesh lechatchila. There's a third din for us that's relevant, which is, while these two things are true, our yavish b'yavish case and our lach b'lach case are true, you can't do it intentionally. Ein mevatlin isur l'chathila means I can't cause a situation of bittul l'chathila intentionally. I can't go and take a little bit of the orla orange juice and put it into my milk. I can't go and do that and say, like, oh, well, it's less, it's there's more than 60 parts milk, and I want to put in a little bit more, maybe to increase it, maybe so you have more milk, maybe so you have more, maybe so you feel that it's doing something in terms of the consistency, whatever it is that you feel it's doing, even though halachically it's insignificant. You can't do that l'chatchila. If by accident a little bit drops in, then it's mutter, then bittul is chal. But you can't create a situation of bittul. The other classic type of case where you could create a situation of bittul, is let's say a little bit of that orange juice falls into a pot of milk, there where the ratio is, let's say, 1 in 40. You can't then intentionally add more milk to drown out the orange juice. You can't intentionally create a situation of bittul. So the two classic cases of ein mevatel nefesh lechatchila, where it's usher to do such a thing, is one, from the outset, creating a ratio of 60-to-1 and cooking them together, or if something accidentally falls in, increasing the heter to drown out the isser. To do either one of those is absolutely usser. Good? Questions? Awesome. Okay. The first question we're going to tackle is, is this concept of ein mevatlin isur lechatchila a din de'oraisa or a din de'rabanan? Is it a Torah law or is it a law from our sages? Okay. To do that, we're going to get into an incredibly intricate and complicated sugya, which is the sugya of Zroa B'Sheila. It's going to be a lot of learning for a limited but significant payoff. But since we're doing halacha iyun shir, this is one of these sugyas which comes up throughout the halachas of kashrus, and it's a great yediya to know. It's a great piece of shas to be familiar with, because it comes up, Zroa B'Sheila comes up again and again and again when learning hilchos kashrus b'iyun. Okay? So what's the story with the Zroa B'Sheila? Zroa means the thigh or the right foreleg. B'Sheila means cooked. It's the cooked right foreleg. Of what? So this comes up in the case of Nazir. Take a look in source number 1. Source number 1 is from the Parsha of Nazir in Bamidbar. Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel says, "Vizot Torat Hanazir biyom melot yemei nizro yaviot to al petach al moed." This is the law of the Nazir. On the day where he finishes his Nazirus, he's done. He or she doesn't want to be a Nazir anymore. That person goes to the entrance of Ohel Moed. He's brought to the entrance of Ohel Moed. V'yikrivet korbano l'Hashem. He brings his korbanos. There are three korbanos the Nazir has to bring. One, keves ben shnato t'mimim echad le'ola. He needs to bring a lamb as an ola. V'kavsa echad bat shnata t'mimah l'chatat. He needs to bring a sheep as a chatas. And the one we're focusing on is, v'ayl echad tamim lishlamim. A ram as a shlamim offering. What's unique about a shlamim offering? Who gets to partake of the shlamim offering? Yeah. Correct. That's the source of the word shlamim, milashon shalom. It brings peace to everybody. A little bit goes to God, a little bit goes to the kohen, a little bit goes to the person who's bringing the korban. Everybody gets to partake in the kohen. Excellent. So we've got this shlamim offering, this ram that's going to be a shlamim. Skip down to pasuk yetet. V'lakacha kohen et hazroa b'sheila min ha'ayil. This pasuk is going to cause us a lot of angst. The kohen goes and takes the zroa b'sheila, the cooked right foreleg of the ram, etc. Skip to the next pasuk. V'nif otava kohen et nufa lifnei Hashem kodeshu la'kohen. He waves it as a wave service before Hashem, and he gets the zroa, and it's kodesh to him. Meaning, this is something which only the kohen can eat. Only the kohen can eat the zroa b'sheila. Now, there's two issues immediately with zroa b'sheila. Based on our introduction, what are going to be our two issues with the zroa b'sheila? Think about it for a second. We only gave three things. We said yavish b'yavish, lach b'lach, and in b'atmish b'lach achila. What are the two issues that immediately come up with the zroa b'sheila? This ram that's cooked, and then the right leg is taken and given to the Kohen. If the right foreleg belongs to the Kohen, nobody else can eat it. So when you take that ram and you cook it in the pot, then you're creating a situation where you have the ta'am of the leg going into all of the meat. And once the ta'am of the leg that belongs to the Kohen enters the meat, the Yisrael shouldn't be allowed to eat the meat. Who says that we have enough to be mevatel? So the first issue is, there may not be bittul here. How is it possible that the Jew can eat the rest of the ram if the part of the ram that's kodesh for the Kohen is penetrating, its taste is penetrating the whole aisle? Question number one. Question number two, even if we have enough of the ram versus the leg for it to be batel, we totally violate our principle of ein mivatlin iser l'chatchila. We're taking to the saying, oh, it's okay, even though the taste will transfer from the leg into the animal, it's fine because there's bitol. But if you know that going in, if you know that beforehand, then it's usher to do it l'chatchila. So we have two potential problems with the zroa b'sheila. Questions on the two issues with the zroa b'sheila? Everybody on the same page? Questions? Okay. We can backtrack. We good? Okay. So the Gemara is going to tackle the topic of zroa b'sheila. We're looking at source number two. The Gemara in Masechet Chulin, Daf Tzadichet Amar Aleph to Tzaditet Amar Aleph. We're only going to read the underlines. The Amar of Chia Bar Abba, Amar of Yoshua, Ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapara, Kol Isurin Shebatorah Bishishim. Everything that's Aser in the Torah can be Mevatel in Shishim. The Gemara is telling us the concept of Batel Bishishim. And then it says in the next underline, Lo Lamdua Elam Yisroa B'Sheila. One of the sources of Batel B'Shishim is Zroa B'Sheila itself. Meaning it actually is answering its own question. He's saying one of the sources of the concept of Batel B'Shishim is the Zroa B'Sheila. Dichtiv, V'lakacha Kohen et Zroa B'Sheila V'chulei. That the Kohen takes the Zroa B'Sheila, V'tanya b'shela e b'shela elishlema. It's not our opinion for now. Or b'shema ben yochai omer. Ein b'shela elishnid bashla im ha'ayil. That when it's called the zroa b'shela, it means it was cooked. The zroa that was cooked. Cooked with what? With the rest of the ram. If the Torah is telling us explicitly that you can take the zroa and give it to the Kohen, and you can take the rest of the ram and give it to the Yisrael, and it's telling us that they were cooked together, it must be that the amounts are proper, that there's bittul, and claims, at least one opinion in the Gemara, that there's at least 60 times ram to foreleg. And so we learn, one of the opinions of where we learn the concept of bittul b'shishim from is actually this case of zorah b'shela. Since it's mutter, it must be that there's enough to be mevatel, and that amount is shishim. Yeah?
But I thought the other hand is that you can't do it intentionally.
We're going to get there. Not to worry. We're answering one question at a time. Yeah, no, we definitely, meaning our topic is in Vatnam Shal Chalkila, so we have to come back to that. Yeah.
No,
we got it. We're taking it step by step. Okay. Good. Let's jump down to the bottom. Amar Abaye, lo nitzrechu el Rabbi Yehuda, de Amar, min bemino lo batio. So Rabbi Yehuda has a unique shita. We don't necessarily paskin like this. But Rabbi Yehuda has a unique shita. The shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that if you have a thing and you have another thing that's basically exactly the same, you can't have bittul when you put those two things together. If I have one piece of lamb or one piece of ram and another piece of ram, and one of them is kosher and one of them is not kosher, one of them is 60 and one of them is 1/60th of it, and I cook them together, bittul can't happen because they're exactly the same thing. That bittul doesn't apply in a case of min bimino, like and like. If I had kosher milk and non-kosher milk, even if a small drop of non-kosher milk falls into my kosher milk, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would never be bittul because it's min bimino. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That's his opinion. We're going to get into the intricacies of it. That's his opinion. He says, min bimino, there's such a thing as bittul. So now, Rabbi Yehuda's got a problem. Because even if you want to say that we learn that from Zorah B'Shela, the concept of bittul b'shishim, there's no way that Rabbi Yehuda can learn it out from Zorah B'Shela, because it's ayil and ayil. It's ram and ram. It's exactly the same thing. It's actually the same animal. So how can Rabbi Yehuda learn out bittul b'shishim from Zorah B'Shela? The two are one and the same. They're both ram. It's min bimino. And min bimino, there is no bittul, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, Kamash Malan, Hacha Batil. That the Torah is going out of its way to tell us that it's a Zorah B'Shela. He just said, this is an exception to the rule. In this case, you can allow it to happen. Meaning, we can learn from it that in any other case, it would be Aser, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Min Bimino. The Gemara then says, very nice, the Lig Mar Mine. But we could learn out the opposite. Learn out from this case that min bimino is mutter. Why would you learn from this case that min bimino is usur except for this case? We could learn in the opposite direction. Since the Torah says that if you cook the leg of the ram and the ram itself together, you can still have bittul, so learn from this case that min bimino is bittul. Why would you pick the opposite way? What's compelling him to pick the opposite way? So the Gemara responds, Gali Rahman, he says, no, Rabbi Yehuda knows this from a different pasuk. By on Yom Kippur, part of the process is to take the dam ha'par and the dam ha'sa'ir, blood from the ox, and blood from the ram, and you mix the blood together and then sprinkle it in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. Now, an ox is much larger than an ayil, right? Than a se'ir. So when the two come together, the dam of the se'ir should be batil to the dam of the shor, of the par. The blood of the ox should be mevatil the blood of the ram. Despite that, when the Torah refers to that mixture of blood in Chumash, it says as such in Vayikra. V'lakach midam ha'par umidam ha'sa'ir. Take from this mixture of the dam ha'par and the dam ha'sa'ir. Rabbi Yehuda learns from this, Tarvayu Bahadi Adari, knew the two of them are mixed together, and there's clearly a majority of blood from the par. V'lo batle, and we don't consider it batel. We don't refer to it just as damapar. We refer to them both as being distinct, because he says it's blood and blood. Min b'mino is not batel. And so the two retain their distinct identities. Says the Gemara, Umay chazit zegar minan mehach, ligmar mehai. Very nice. Now we've still got two psukim. We have the concept of Zorah b'sheila, and we have the concept of damapar and damasayir. But there are two opposite things. One is saying that it is batil, and one is saying that it's not batil. By the damapar damasar, we see that mi b'mino is not batil. But you could say that by Zorah b'sheila, we see that mi b'mino is batil. So why is he picking to learn mi b'mino is not batil from damapar and damasayir, instead of learning that it is batil from Zorah b'sheila? The response is, Chidushu. Zorah b'sheila is a chidush. We can't learn anything out from a chiddush. We'll come back to the line in a moment. The Gemara then asks the second logical question. If so, then you shouldn't learn batel b'shishim from Zorah b'sheila. If you're telling me that you can't learn anything out from a chiddush, and Zorah b'sheila is a chiddush, then you also shouldn't be able to learn out batel b'shishim from Zorah b'sheila. Gemara responds, Atu anan l'kula gamrinan, l'chomar gamrinan. The midoraita batil b'iruba batil. That from a chidush you can learn a chomra but not a kula. So from Zorah b'sheila, we can't learn a kula that min b'mino is batil, but we can learn a chomra that even though normally, like we said in the introduction, you really need a ratio of 2 to 1, we can learn a chomra that by lach b'lach you need shishim. So from a chiddush you can learn a chumrah, but not a kula. You can learn the chumrah of requiring a much higher amount of shishim, but you can't learn a kula that min b'mino is batil. That was a lot. Okay. That's the idea of Zorah b'sheila. We're really only going to focus on one line. That line is when the Gemara says, Zorah b'sheila, chiddushu. What's the chiddush of Zorah b'sheila? Says Rashi in source number 3 that the chiddush of Zorah b'sheila is delechatchila heter levatel ha'isur. That even though it's aser to mevatel lechatchila, the chiddush of Zorah b'sheila is that in the case of Zorah b'sheila, you're allowed to do mevatel isur lechatchila. That's the chiddush of Zorah b'sheila. What's more important than the fact that Rashi's saying that in this case the Torah is telling us that it's okay to do mevatlin lechatchila by Zorah b'sheila is the implication of Rashi. Rashi must be understanding that in mevatlin isur lechatchila is an isur d'oraita, and therefore the Torah itself needs to be matir, being mevatel and isur lechatchila in the case of Zorah b'sheila. One more time. For Rashi to say that the Torah is going out of its way to say that in this case it's okay to be mevatel isur lechatchila. In this case it's okay. In this case it's okay to put the ram which has the foreleg and the rest of it in the same place. And even though you're intentionally doing bittel, it's okay. In this case the Torah said it's okay. Then the Torah must be under the working assumption that it's otherwise usur. In which case, ein mevatlin isur lechatchila is an isur de'oraita. The Torah assumes that ein mevatlin isur lechatchila is a din. It exists on a Torah level. That's the opinion of Rashi. That ein mevatlin isur lechatchila is an isur de'oraita. Glad everybody at least looked at me confused. You're able to clarify. If anybody still wants to clarify, let's keep going. Raise your hand. Call it out. It's okay. Yeah.
Just going back to the psukim.
Yes.
Bye-bye korban is a new issue for there to be, like, understanding kashrut that when you transfer the piece, that...
You're transferring the thing itself. Tom kicker.
Yeah. So it's the same thing with korban.
The tom kicker. Any taste of anything is like the thing itself. Period. So same thing. Even if it's kashrut, it's all going to be the same issue. Yeah.
Understand. Why does Rashi assume that he says there's an exception for the case for the first case that you said with the
Zerubbishela.
Yeah. How come there's why how does he know that it's not an exception for the second gift of the ram and the
No, so the Gemara dealt with that. He's simply answering the question of what does it mean that Zerah B'Sheila is a Chiddush? What's unique about it? What's Mechudishtik about Zerah B'Sheila? So he's defining what the Chiddush is because the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara deals with your question. He's dealing with a separate question of what is this amorphous Chiddush of Zerah B'Sheila that's not defined.
I think I'm just lost on why they said that was an exception and not... And
because not... we can learn out from a Chiddush a Chomra but not a Kula. The chumra we're learning out is min bimino eino batil. Sorry, excuse me. The chumra we're learning out is batil b'shishim as opposed to batil b'rov. You go from 1 to 2 to 1 to 60. That's a chumra. That's okay. Therefore, we learn out from the Dhamma Parva Dhamma Sa'ir that min bimino is not batil. That min bimino eino batil. But you can't learn out that Mimino is batal from Zerah B'Sheila because it's a kula from a chiddush. Okay? So the first opinion is that of Rashi, which is that Imvatnu Shalachatchila is a din deoraita. Rova poskim totally disagree. Don't paskin this way. And the Rashba on the Torah Tabayit in source number 4 says, Tiritu b'tosfo be deoraita mevatlin. That means deoraita, it is batal because there is no concept of Ein mevatlin Isr Lachatchila mi deoraita. V'damrinan ein nevatli midirabanan ein nevatli is a lachachila is a din derabanan. Doesn't make it any less usser. It's just a different status. It's a din derabanan. He says, but what about the chiddush? Right? What do we answer? How do we answer Rashi? What's the chiddush of Zerah B'Sheila? He says very simply, v'hadamrinan hachi chiddushu, that which we say it's a chiddush. Hachi kamar, this is what we mean. Chiddushu shechad shetora levatlo masha'inkin ba'alma. It's a chiddush that the Torah is telling us to be mevatel anything. It normally never tells us to do such a thing. Not that it's usher to do it, but it's a chiddush that the Torah would say, go out of your way to be mevatel something. She'aval pi shemutar levatla, even though mi de'oraita, it's mutar to be mevatel lechatchila. G'nayhu, it's not a good thing to do. Levatla. The kol shekein she'ein mitzvah levatla, even more so that there's no mitzvah to be mevatel something, to make something go from iser to heter. V'kan afilu mitzvah yeshbo. The chiddush is in that by Zerah B'Sheila, it's a mitzvah to do the bitzel. It's a mitzvah to be the mevatel, the zroah of the aisle to the rest of the aisle. That's the chiddush. But ein nevat l'nishu l'chatchila is still a din derabanan. Midoraisa, that's totally fine. It's just not something that the Torah normally would ever tell us to do. Certainly not call it a mitzvah. Here it's saying it's a mitzvah to be mevatel. That's the chiddush of Zerah B'Sheila. But the concept of ein nevat l'nishu l'chatchila is a din derabanan. Tov. And again, this is the narrative psak halero of poskim, and we assume that invat l'nisal chachila is a din derabanan. Great. That was the lumdas section of our shir. Now let's get practical. Okay, whether it's midirais or midirabanan, it's still usher. But we learned some key concepts about invat l'nisal chachila is a midirais midirabanan. The concept of Zerah B'Sheila. These are all key concepts. But let's start getting practical. Question, yeah.
I mean, you don't have to answer because it's about me, you know, but then if it's like a mitzvah of something, then why not even that's how me?
Because then the Gemara has to follow. He's giving an answer based in the Gemara, which is so say learn it out from that. The answer is no, we would never learn out a kula from a chiddush. That answer still applies.
Okay.
You can't learn out a kula from a chiddush.
Okay.
Meaning, whenever anybody reads the Gemara, it has to read the entire Gemara, and it still fits. That's a great question, though. Yes. Okay? Let's get practical. What happens if you do it? Right? What happens if you go, and you're mevatel and Yisrael Chathchila? So the Rambam says in source number 5, Hilchos Machalas Asuros, Perek Tedvav, Halakha Chafhei, Osir Levatel Isurin Shel Torah Lechathchila, Vim bitel hareza mutar parentheses midoraisa, right? Because we're all postulating that this is only din derabanan. So it's aser levatel something which is aser lichatchila, and if you do it, it's mutar midoraisa. V'afal pichen kamsu oto chachamim v'asru hakol. The chacham put a knas, a penalty, on the food, and the food becomes aser. Chachamim have the right to put a penalty if you're over, meaning if the Chachamim make an Isser Derabanan, they can also make a penalty if you're over that Isser Derabanan. So there's an Isser Derabanan both to be Mevatel Isser L'chatchila, then there's an additional Knas, an additional Isser Derabanan to eat the food after you've done it. You get no benefit, you really don't gain from it. That's the idea, that you don't gain from it even if you do it. Then the Rambam says, V'ira'eli. V'ira'eli in the Rambam indicates that he's saying a Chiddush, which is common in the scope of the Rambam, but not so common in general in the Rambam. The Rambam's goal was to go through all of Shas, organize it, and pick which shita he felt was correct, and list that as the only shita when going through all of the halachos. But every once in a while he says, V'ira'eli, means that there's nowhere in Shas that I've seen, and if the Rambam says he hasn't seen it, we can trust that it probably didn't happen, right? Rambam says, nowhere in Shas have I seen anybody say this, but I think this is so. Says the Rambam, V'ira'eli, Shekevan shuknas ein osim taruvot zo ela al zeha over shebitel ha'isser aval achir makol mutter. He gives us a kula. Since this is a penalty, the penalty only applies to the person who does the bittel. But for everybody else, it's mutter. So if I go and I intentionally am mevatel my little bit of Orla orange juice in my milk, the whole thing is usser to me. But if my friend comes and wants to drink the milk, that's totally mutter. The penalty is only on the person who does the bittel themselves, according to the Rambam.
So what if you ask somebody else to do it for you?
Says the Rashba on the Torah Sabayis in source number 6. Excellent transition, thank you. Avar ubitel o shiriva alav heter, whether you were mevatel l'chatchila, or the other case said where you add more heter to create a situation of bittel, you add more milk. Im b'shogeg mutter, meaning if the whole thing happened by accident, that's the whole back to the din of regular bittel. That's not im mevatel l'chatchila. If you accidentally create a situation of bittel, that's fine. Vim b'mezid, but if you go and are mevatel l'chatchila, it's usher to you, and it's usher for anybody that you did it for. So if I'm running out of chicken soup on Shabbos, and the only liquid I have in my house is milk, and I add enough milk just to increase the total volume of chicken soup that I have, but I make sure that the ratio still stays 1 to 60, right? I was mevatel and isser l'chatchila. I added milk to my chicken soup. There's bittel. It should be fine. But since I was over ein mevatel and isser l'chatchila, it's also for me to eat the chicken soup. And everybody that I invited over for Shabbos. Anybody that I intended the food to be for, also it's also for them to eat the food as part of the knas, as part of the penalty midirabanan. Clear? Does that answer your question, Yifat? Well done. Good. Source number 7. We see all of this now codified halacha lemaisa in the Shulchan Aruch in Yoradea Hilchos Taruvos Tzaditet Seif Hei. Ein nevat l'nisher l'chatchila. Good, we know it's a din, right? After all this talk, it's a good thing it turned out to be a din, right? Ein nevat l'nisher l'chatchila. And he gives both cases. Va'afilu nafal l'toch heter she'ein bo shir l'batlo. Even if it just fell in to something that was mutter by accident, and there's not enough for it to the bottle to be chal, it's still aser. Ein mosifin alav heter k'dei l'batlo. Adding more to create batil is also over the iser of ein nevat l'nisher l'chatchila. Avar ubatlo, o shiriba lav imishogig mutzer. If there was a case of bittel, or you accidentally added more, and all of this is by accident, so then again the regular rules of bittel apply. If it's by accident, then everything's fine. Then it's a case of bittel, like the first two cases that we gave in our introduction. That's fine. Im bemezid, aser limivatel atzmo. Imushalo. If it's done intentionally, it's aser for the person who did it. If it's their own, we won't get into that, it's a separate kula for another time, but it's also for the person who made it. So he's posting like the Rashba and the Torah Sabayis, that it's also both for the person and anybody that person made the dish or the pot or the food for. That's how he posts in Alachal Amaisa. He says in the end there, it's not underlined, but in the very end, he says, but for anybody else, it's mutter. So you can give that pot of chicken soup to your neighbor, and they have this great chicken soup for Shabbat that they weren't expecting. Right? But for you and for all your guests, it's usser. There's one last extension of this Isser. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger in source number 8, who quotes the Tshuvas Rivash, and he says, V'im bitel hastam, al hastam, l'mishi yirtze liknos, what if I'm a store owner, and I'm over the Isser of being mevatel l'chatchila, but not for anybody in particular? Meaning, listen, I want to make more product. I'm either running low, I have to get somebody a certain amount and I'm freaking out, or I don't care about the halacha, whatever the case may be. And so I go and I'm mevatel l'chatchila, but not for anybody in particular. I just do it to them, put them in my display case. I have no idea who's going to come in. Says the Rivash, quoted by Rabbi Akiva Eger, Hare hu kimo shenase bishvilam biyichud v'asr l'kulam. The whole town is now asr to buy that food. If you're mevatel stam b'mezid, it's as for, and you're a merchant, it's as though you had the whole town, you had all of your customers in mind. And therefore, it's usher for any customer to buy that food from you. It's usher for you, and it's usher for the whole town. Questions on Ein Mevatlin Isra L'chatchila by a Jew. Very good. Now things get really interesting. What about a non-Jew? So what if a non-Jew is mevatel l'chatchila? You have somebody, he owns a store, he owns a manufacturing plant, he owns a food company, and this non-Jew is just manufacturing his product. He doesn't know from Bittel. He's not a London. He's not, you know, he wasn't sitting in Shir all day. He's just going and doing his thing. And it happens to be that he's using a non-kosher ingredient. It also happens to be that a pi halacha, it's batel. So can I eat it from him? Do we say that the Isser and the Knas and the penalty apply to him as well? So the answer is no way. There's no way. A non-Jew is mitzvah in the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Ein Mevatlin Isser L'chatchila is not one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Since he doesn't have the Isser of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'chatchila, there's no Isser and there's no Knas. So if a non-Jewish merchant were to make food which has Isser in it and it's batel, incidentally, then technically speaking, a Jew should be able to buy the product from the non-Jewish merchant. Since the non-Jew is not mitzuveh, then both the Isser and the Knas don't apply. That's the simple understanding. Poskim don't do simple. So the Shut Radvaz says a tremendous chiddush l'chumra. See the Shut Radvaz in source number 9. He says, Uleinyan imutzor lakachat min ha'akum davar shnidbatel b'shishim. With regards to whether you can buy from a non-Jew something which has batel b'shishim in it, hadavar yaduahu she'asur. He says it's asur. But why? Why would it be asur? He's not mitzuvah, so there's no isur, there's no knas. Dehavi b'shah shelokcho min ha'akum ki ilu mevatel lechatchila. Huge chumrah. He understands Ein Mevatlin Isser L'chatchila in a totally different way. He's mechadish that whenever you put yourself in a situation where you're going to have to rely on bittul, that counts as Ein Mevatlin Isser L'chatchila. Even though there was no Isser when the non-Jew did it, since when I go and I'm now purchasing something which has bittul, it's like I'm now activating Ein Mevatlin Isser L'chatchila. Since I'm relying on it, it still falls within the Isser of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'chatchila. And so it's Usser for me. That's a mechudishtik understanding of what Ein Mevatel Isser L'chatchila means. The Darki Tshuva, I apologize, I didn't have access to the text to put it on there, but the Darki Tshuva I'll say outside. Darki Tshuva argues. He says, no. If the non-Jew is specifically doing it for the Yisrael, then it's a problem. Meaning, if I go to the non-Jew and I say, listen, here's the thing. I'd like a little bit of the non-kosher ingredients. If you could just put in less than 1/60th, I'd really appreciate it. That person then becomes an extension of myself. It's like, I'm doing it, and that's a problem. I can't ask the non-Jew to do it. However, if the non-Jew is just doing it as part of his manufacturing his product, with no specific intent of selling it to Jews or to be mevatel, this is not considered in mevatel nisha lechatchila. And a Jew can buy that product, and he brings that from the Maharam in Lublin. Yeah.
That sells to both Jews and non-Jews, or just
Jews? No, if they're selling it specifically to Jews, then they have intent to sell it to Jews. So we're talking about somebody in their store, in their corner store, right? They're you know, they have a chocolate shop. They're making lots of, you know, beautiful, expensive chocolates. Happens to be that some of the products, they're only using a little bit of Isser. They're just sitting on the corner and selling their stuff. They're sitting in their corner store and selling their chocolates. So they don't, Jews, non-Jews, they're making their products. So if you walk in and it turns out that their product has less than 1/60th of Isser, so says the Darkei Tshuva, so that's Mutzer. You can buy it. Why not? There was no Isser, there's no Knas. Says the Radvaz, no, since you're buying it, you're relying on it and you're activating the Invatlan Isser L'Chatkiba.
It's very different.
Two totally different understandings. And again, the Radvaz is the one that's more Mechudishtik. The Badei Shulchan, which I sort of photocopy for you, but it's certainly on your page. The Badei Shulchan, so he says in, that we don't have time to go through the whole thing now. He says in line number 7, which starts with the word dehave, kilechatchila, v'tzarech iyun. After that comma, uledina katavnu bifnim sham, lahakal bazek kemosha pasak harama, that we're mekel, meaning this shutrivaz is a chiddush. The simple understanding of imavan lisha lechatchila means that you, not if you're relying on bitzel, it means if you're doing the bitzel. And if the non-Jew is doing the bitzel as part of his manufacturing process, with no intent to sell it to a Jew, was not told by a Jew to do it, it just happened to be that way, then of course you can rely on it. Because the non-Jew is not mitzvah, and the non-Jew doesn't have the knas. So it's totally fine. So says the Badei Shulchan, which again is sticking with the general pshat of what Eid Mevat Nusul L'Chachila means, in line with the Darkei Tshuva. Clear? Yeah.
But if
everybody agrees that if the Jew walks into the store and says, please make sure only to use less than 1/60th of this ingredient, vaday aser. Vaday aser. We're talking about a case where it just happened in the melee, just the person on his own decided that that's how much he wanted to put in. Okay? But now we get to a much more serious question. That's at line 10 with the larger print, vihine. Okay? Vihine. Lefi kol ze hayanira lahatir netinas hechsher litotzeret nochrim shenotni demachal izeshehu iser kol sheyeshbo shishim kenegdova filu kisherov hakonim Yisrael. What comes out is then, technically speaking, we should be allowed, a kashrus organization should be allowed to give a hechsher to a product where there's batel v'shishim, if it wasn't unintentionally for a Jew. If the CRC finds out that a certain product has less than 1/60th of Isser, then it's fine, and they can go and give a hechsher to the product. Why not? Because we pass in like Darkei Moshe. It should be totally fine. You thought you looked...
I was going to say, like, that's only if you pass in.
Right, and again, that was what we first read in the Badei Shulchan that we do. We pass in like the Darkei Tshuva against the Tshuvas Radvaz. Shuvas. Okay? For lack of time, we're not going to read the whole thing inside. It's worth reading. The rest of the piece is very interesting and very sharp. He comes out at the end of the day and says, no. That's not good. That's not going to work. Why is that not going to work? Because at the end of the day, let go 5 lines from the bottom. The first round line is omnam. He says, however, right? That's always a line that's gonna introduce a chumra, right? It was nice. The kol was nice while it lasted. He says, omnam. However, nira de enokin. This doesn't make. This is not going to work. The kol ze kishibit lo hanochri miatzmo. All of this is only when the non-Jew is being mevatelit on their own. Aval hamefakeach hanotein hechsher harimitzavu al kacha lasod beofen sha'isri yitbatil. Meaning, once you go and you give it a hechsher, you're basically saying, let me understand correctly. You have less Isser, you have 1/60th of the Isser to the Heter. Great, I'm going to give you a hechsher, which you can keep having as long as you keep doing it in a ratio of 1 to 60. What just happened? By By giving the heksher, I've told the non-Jew that he has to keep the ratio 1 to 60. I told him he has to be mevatel the isser. Once I tell him, we're back to a case of being mitzvah by a Jew, and then it's going to be usser. So he says in the end of the day, he says it on his own, he says that's not going to work. If he's doing it on his own, it's one thing, but to give it a heksher, once you actively go and give it a heksher, you're basically being mitzaveh, the non-Jew, to make sure that he continues to keep the bat bitzel going, and then it's going to be usher for any Jew to buy.
So today, for the most part, people are very poor. We have the luxury. So, the lion that's
what. So we now live in a culture of hechsherim. So there are two reasons why kashrus companies would not give a hechsher in a case of where a non-Jew does the bittel. One is what we just saw in the Badei Shulchan, which is, again, once the Jew asks to give the heksher, it's like telling the non-Jew to be mevatel shelachat tefillah, and that would make it aser. Rav Simon says in the name of Rav Shechter that there's even a different issue. Even if you weren't to accept this svara of the Badei Shulchan, that once you give it a heksher, it's like being mitzuvah, even if you reject the svara of the Badei Shulchan. So Rav Shechter says, no, it's really an issue of ben adam l'chaveiro, meaning it's a principle issue. It's an organizational issue. Meaning, when I go and I buy my candy bar, which has no you on it, I assume that the thing is 110% kosher. I don't assume we're relying on kulas. I don't assume that we're not. I don't assume that we're not poskening like the shut radvaz. I don't assume that there's something isser in it, but it's batel. If there's an OU on it, if there's a hechsher on it, it means it's 100% kosher. That's what I'm telling you with the OU. That's what I'm telling you with my hechsher. So bin adam lechavero, it's not allowed to give. One's not allowed to give a hechsher to such a thing, even if you assume that it's mutter, because you're pulling the wool over the other person's eyes. You're not acting in a yashar way. So for both of those reasons, kashrus companies generally will not give a heksher to an item, even when the non-Jew of his or her own volition is the one who's doing the bittel with no intent of selling it to a non-Jew. Tov. So that's the balance. However, most poskim assume that it is mutter to buy a product from a non-Jew when there is bittel involved, if the non-Jew wasn't told to use the mechanism of bittel. So if you happen to know that your former favorite candy bar from years past, right, before you were as makbid on kashrus, you happen to know that your favorite candy bar that you used to love to eat, that there is isser in it, but you do some serious work and investigation, you find out that the isser in it is batel, and there's no hechsher on it, so nobody told the person to be mevatel it. Theoretically and technically speaking, you could eat the candy bar without the hechsher on it. However, before you do that, make sure to consult your local Orthodox rabbi to make sure that, I mean, again, there's a lot more to the laws of bittel, and to make sure that it's investigated properly. One should not make that decision on their own. But theoretically speaking, if you know 110% for sure that this item doesn't have any non-kosher ingredient, or the non-kosher ingredient that's in it is batel, then if you do the investigation and you find a rav just to make sure that all of the laws of bittel are in place, technically speaking, yes, you can't eat that non-kosher food item, the non-kosher candy bar, etc. Questions? Comments? Yeah?
Before coming into this class, I just had a
Assumably, if there's a heksher on an item, there's no batel b'shishim that's being in effect, even if it's a non-kosher company.
Even though, there's so many factories, like, even if one company has,
Again, halachas of kashrus is a massive undertaking. It's at least a year of study. There are a lot of kulas that go into that. Like, those of you, again, who were in the kashrus year, we were all surprised by many kulas that can happen even in your own kitchen. Those get more complicated. And again, there's also a difference between halacha and how we practice it on an industrial level in a case of tending to be more machmir, like in this situation, where we wouldn't give a heksher even if it is technically mutter. or most or kashrut, I can't speak for all, most kashrut organizations wouldn't give a heter, even if it's technically mutter. Or the body of shulchan would say it's aser, but that's beside the point. The assumption is that no, if you're eating food from a kashrut organization, then that has a hesher on it, you can assume that the food is 100% kosher and is not. I mean, even if it was relying on bittul, it would still be kosher, but isn't even relying on the kula of bittul, that it doesn't, that imbavim mishal chakila doesn't apply to a non-Jew. Yeah, Marissa.
Like, do we know just
know it as the body of shulchan? I mean, I know it as the body of shulchan from learning kashrus, as well as kashrus. I knew it in my head at one point, but I can certainly look it up for you. But he's modern day. He's a modern day posik, and he's a tremendous lamdan, and he's very sharp. Usually, he comes out l'chumra. This being no exception, but he's somebody who a lot of people rely on in terms of the last sentence in terms of at least looking into it. Whether we pass on him or not can depend on the situation, but I could look into it for you more. Okay. So everybody, the next halacha yun shir will be between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, given by our JLIC rabbinic fellow Rabbi Eli, on a topic relating to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And then all the way at the end of October, we're going to have JLIC Associate National Director Rabbi Ross come in to talk about the kashrus of alcohol. He is very holding and very funny, and definitely make sure to catch that one. Both of them will be great. We'll see a lot of other things in between.